I had this. I've had these thoughts on my heart for some time now, and I thought I might do this last week, but I felt like the Lord was saying no, you know. But after today's message, I feel like it kind of goes along with what I have. And I think in a lot of ways this study may be more for me than maybe for you all, but I really hope to hear your all's input, and hopefully I'll learn something from you all in this. My background is, I'll put it like this. I came from a place where I didn't have to worry about where my next meal was coming. I knew I had a bed to sleep in, and I knew I was going to get clothes to wear and food to eat. And so I didn't have to really be worried about those kind of things, you know. And so I could give myself completely to study and to ministry and not have to worry, you know, not have to be concerned about the physical things of life and the world and so forth. And I think about it as it seemed easier to me to give myself completely to God because I didn't have anything else. At this point in my life, I didn't have hope for anything else. And in the Lord, I was okay with that. And it was like He gave me purpose and He gave me hope. And then as time went on, I did have a situation in my life where I felt like I had divided loyalties, you know, because I had a desire to want to get out of prison. But then I had a desire to be fully and totally committed to the Lord and do what He would have me do first and foremost. And so, you know, there was things that I had to do certain things if I wanted to get out, you know, but I didn't want those things to take away from my service to God either, you know. And so I call it divided loyalty because it can feel that way. It can feel like a tug from one side to the other. And so now I'm out here, right? And I have a new environment, a new situations, new decisions to make, questions to answer. Again, I'm faced with that situation of divided or being tugged, feeling like you're being tugged one way to the other. The responsibility of caring for your family and your children and making sure there's bills are paid and the food is on the table and all that, but at the same time wanting to do all of what God would want you to do, you know? And it feels like a tug of war sometimes. And so I was thinking, and a thought came to me that there's a scripture that says, eat, drink, and be merry. Right? For tomorrow, you know, I take it to finish it would be because tomorrow you're going to die, you know. And so that's a very short-sighted view of it. But, you know, I ask myself, what's wrong with that statement, you know? We're not living for this world, right? Our lives aren't led by what we can achieve in this life, really. Our hope is to be with God for eternity. And that's what we're living our lives for. So what's really wrong with that statement of eat, drink, and be merry, you know? You know, so there is more to do. But, you know, I think of that and I say, okay, but if my focus is heaven, my focus is service to the Lord, to be what He would have me be, be my life being completely and totally dedicated to Him, and whatever that looks like, how much of an entanglement should I have to the things of this life beyond, obviously, my responsibilities, you know? And so, again, I have that tug of war somewhat in saying, what should I do? You know, we've been talking. I mean, we're a young couple. You know, we've only been married a year, you know, just over a year. And we got a baby on the way, and we start talking about life insurance, right? And, you know, I'll be honest. To me, life insurance just sounds like, I don't know, like we're waiting for me to die so we could be rich. No. But, you know, you can look at it and think, okay, I'm going to put this little bit of money each month aside for some day that someone will get to spend it, you know, when I'm dead. But that money, you know, you might need that money now. You know, so it's a savings account, really. And I don't get me wrong, I understand the needs of it and the benefits of it, and it's probably a wise thing to do, you know. But to me, it's like laying up stores. You know, how big does my bank account need to be? You know, how much is enough? How much time should I spend in trying to accumulate those things? Because we only have so much time, each one of us. And what are we going to spend that time on? Something's got to give, one way or another. You know, I could make more money. I certainly could if I wanted to work 80 hours a week, right, or more. I could do that. But would that be beneficial spiritually? Because obviously some things would have to be neglected to do that. You know, it's a way in the balance kind of thing. And so I guess my question for tonight's study is, you know, what should I do? You know, should I lay up stores and try to accumulate, and then I can give that the more money I make, the more money I can give, right? And yeah, that is a benefit. And it's a need. But then I have the other thing is, the more I can give, the more benefit that the church can get, you know? It's like Brother Philip was saying a while back, you know, the Lord needs people more than He needs money. He already has all the money. You know, He says He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills or something like that, you know? He has all that. It's not really money that He lacks. I think sometimes what He lacks is people. You know, dedicated people who are going to give themselves. But it's not easy to do. Because, again, it takes sacrifice to be able to do that. What are you going to, you know? So, I don't know. I got a few scriptures here. Let's see. Luke chapter 12, and I think we're going to start in verse 13. It says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge for a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So what do you think of that? Anybody have any comments they want to give on that? Amen. Yeah, that was definitely what he lacked, right? What was that? I don't know. It doesn't say. But the Lord does call him a fool because of his thinking. You know? Yeah, he said, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So in a sense, he kind of retired from everything, I guess, huh? His soul just retired. He what? Yeah. All of that.
He was gathered up ashes.
Mm-hmm. So basically, it was all going to burn up and go away. Yeah. That's right.
And it's very frustrating for the one who's
So we need a system like the reorganization or something.
Amen.
I mean, that's what they did in the past. Like, they would be next week, so.
So what was her comment real quick? Right.
And it sounded like that he was maybe covetousness. That's what Jesus said. Beware of covetousness, and covetous means marked by inordinate desire for wealth and possession.
So he was just kind of
above what's necessary.
Right. So he was just gathering it in really for himself. You know, he was thinking that he had plenty to live on for many years himself. And like she said too, he didn't seem to be paying a whole lot of attention to his spiritual life. And if he was trying to equate his success in money to spiritual success, he was way off. But like she said, what's wrong with building bigger barns? Right? What's wrong with, I'll put it this way, with improving your business? You know, making it more profitable, expanding. What would be wrong with that? Because essentially that's kind of what it sounds like he's doing in a sense, except it's on a farmer's status, is he's expanding. I'm going to build bigger so I can store up more. Right? And so, what's that?
Maybe God has blessed your business so well that
you need bigger buildings.
That's right.
Bigger barns, whatever. Maybe a food less building.
Right. So it's not necessary. That's what I'm saying. It's not necessarily that he built bigger barns, right? It was more maybe an attitude that he had about it, you know, a quest that he was on, and that somehow his life was fulfilled in these things.
Joseph, he built bigger barns than he did because the Lord told him to.
Amen. And he was able to feed a lot of people for 7 years.
Because they didn't plan on dying. And we're all going to die. And we have to realize that the most important thing is our soul. It doesn't matter what we have. We can build bigger barns, but that's not really going to help us in eternity. And this guy evidently didn't have that confidence in God. He's trusting the riches. He probably had more than his 100-year course. He probably had, you know, quite a bit of stuff.
Yeah. You know, I think of somebody who spends their life accumulating, you know, like we said, they build bigger, they expand, they grow, they're producing multi-millions now, you know. But let me ask you, what sacrifice is made to do that? It takes time to make money. That's right. And so, yes, there could be a benefit of it. And yes, the Lord may be calling them to that. I'm not going to say that that's not possible. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not trying to say what's right or wrong either in this regard. But I do see that a person can put their whole life and energy into building that business or building that empire of finance, you know, and something sacrifices because of it.
Kind of very selfish to me. Like, I always do that. Those verses, and he's very self-centered, self-focused, kind of no care for anybody else in the world except himself.
That's right.
He were there as himself.
Yeah. Yeah. All about him.
Well, Martin, sometimes I think people, or say people, with the idea that people that give their all and consecrate to forfeit accumulating and making a good living and, you know, are ministers. And everyone else is out there to do it, whatever. And I think what you're talking about, is it wrong to accumulate? I think we have to look at every one of us is a minister from a position of we are responsible to spread Christ wherever we go, whatever we're doing, whether it's on a job, whether it's our business, whether we're a preacher, whatever. We are still ministers. There's not this laity minister division that I think is the church has wrongly done. So if God calls me to be a successful businessman, then I'm going to follow Christian principles to do my business. God's going to bless it. It's going to produce, and I'll be able to share and give that. If that's my focus, then I'm not going to be covetous, and I'm not going to be able to, you know, I'm accumulating something for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just doing the work of the Lord. And if we look at all our lives as being the work of the Lord, no matter if it's a small business or a large business, if He blesses it, and it makes sense to go forward and make it bigger, and all the time my focus is on doing things for the Lord, then God's in that. We say, yeah, God has a cattle on a thousand hills, but it's usually people that have it in their pockets that He gets it from. And so God needs those kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the focus is not so much on whether I should be allowed to accumulate, but where is my heart in all this? And if it becomes my lot, I mean, I've known people that it just, everything they touched turned to money. They were very good givers, and they actually promoted the work of the Lord. There's other people that are poor that couldn't handle the money if they had it. And so
right.
God doesn't maybe bless them that way, but it goes back to the focus of where is my heart in all this, and am I ministering for God as a Christian in whatever capacity that is, whether it's business or whether it's preaching or whether it's whatever it is.
Amen. You know, I have some other verses also kind of to go along with that in a sense, because I agree. I think that the Lord can use people who have a lot of money, you know, to do a lot of good, and that could very well be their calling, you know, their ministry. Because to be honest, it is a ministry to be able to have that much money and be able to give it away. And I think the reason why I say that is because the Lord says that it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. I mean, that's not me saying it. That's what He says, you know. And there's a reason why. And so it is a rare person that can do that. And I believe that they exist. I do believe that there are people who can do that. And they can make a lot of money and not think a lot about it, and they live similar to how everyone else lives, and somehow the Lord blesses them to be able to give that money away. And a lot of people are blessed because of it. And praise God for that. But like I said, if we're gonna pursue that, we gotta make sure that the Lord has got us doing that, you know, because like I said, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, because it does take focus, it does take dedication, commitment, all those things to do that. Yeah. And so I guess we'll go a little bit more. Let's see, Luke 15:11-13. I don't think this is the parable of the prodigal son. It says, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that followed to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. So we have the one side of the person that stores it up. You know, let's put it in a big barn. And now here you got the guy that just, he just spins it all up. Mm-hmm.
This is found in Matthew 19. Let me read that whole verse there. Matthew 19:24. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Back then, the camel had to bow low to go through. It was like a needle was like a gate.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Humbly ask God His will in these things. I know with us being self-employed, it's been the Lord helped us through our business. And I've seen God work so many times. we have to ask and humble ourselves and wait. Sometimes it takes waiting on God to lead us. But I think humility is very important. And I just wanted to add that with what you had to say, and go ahead with the thought about the young man that took all his riches.
Yeah, he squandered it. Now, obviously, it says riotous living, and so he's wasting it on sin, you know, sinful activities. But I can think of a person that, or not a perfect person specifically, but I could waste my money, you know, and think, well, you know what, the Lord will take care of me, and, you know, I just waste it, you know, and I don't, I'm not a good steward with what God has given me. And so, like I said, I can think, well, should I really let my focus be in storing up, you know, for a future day that may or may not come? But really, should I spin everything up and then not have nothing, you know, 10 or 20 years from now, you know? It's, what's that?
Need
Yeah, he was needing some money, and where'd he go? Yeah. Old faithful dad, right? Yeah.
The verse that comes to my mind is, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. She's storing things up.
That's right.
She's getting ready.
Yep, and I have that one down here. And so it's just kind of adding to that. We got to work, right? The Lord says that we should work. We should try to provide for ourselves. We should, like you said, store up. And so there's obviously a difference, right? We had the one guy built big barns to store up, but he had a bad attitude about it. Wrong thinking in accordance to it. Joseph built big barns, storing up, but his mind was to feed the people, you know, so that there would be food for everyone to eat. There is a preparation there for a reason. And so the mindsets are different. And so you have the one who spins it all up. You have the other one who gathers it all in. And obviously we need to work. And so I guess in a way it's trying to gather all these things in together and find out what is the balance really of it.
I think for each person that might be different.
Mm-hmm.
And what you've been talking about, or what everyone's been mentioning, is the attitude of heart. Think of the scripture that says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if our treasure is God and, you know, his kingdom and everything, even if we are doing the monetary, temporal works, it's not going to consume us, because our attitude of heart is focused on God. And so yet, then there's the squanderer, the young man that came and took his portion and just spent it all. That attitude of heart, his treasures were in experiences in this life. You only live once.
Right.
That's the YOLO or whatever they say.
Treat yourself.
Yeah, and he's just spending it all. And that's where his treasure was, in the experiences and, you know, entertainment and, you know, just feeding himself and everything. And so really, we can ask ourselves, where is our treasure? Where are we wanting to build up? And that kind of leads us down the path of what we should do. I don't know, it's a really deep question sometimes, because there's other scriptures that say that something about the man can't really know his heart. So it's kind of hard to make those decisions on our own. That's why God asked us to come to him and ask him for wisdom and direction.
Well, since you mentioned, I have those scriptures right here, the Matthew 6, and I think it's either 17 or 19 to 21. This is 19. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. While she was talking, I was thinking about how a lot of times we can use this scripture towards the one that's got money, you know, and say, well, where your treasure is, you know, and that's true, you know, that they could, that could be their fulfillment in life is their riches, you know. But as we've already said, you know, some people can have a lot of money, but it's really not their treasure. They're able to give it away and not think a lot about it, you know. And so I start thinking about what about the flip side, where some people might, they might forsake all money and all, you know, whatever, live as a pauper and everything else. But in their heart, they're doing it because they want notoriety, right, from other people. They want other people to think, oh, well, look how much he suffers for his faith, you know. But that's in his heart. It's not so much because he's doing it because he loves the Lord so much and just wants to. But in his heart, somewhere deep down, he's thinking that people are going to lift me up because of this, right? And that would be a bad attitude too, right? Even though he's giving all away and he's living as a pauper, but he's doing it for the wrong reason. He has the wrong heart in doing it. And so where your treasure is, his treasure being notoriety or honor of other people, you know, it's not good.
In Jeremiah 9:23, it says, thus says the eternal I am, let not the wise glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty glory in his might, and let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glorify in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am he who exercises love, kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I
do. Delight
says, I am.
Oh, I was just thinking, you have to have God's love, because it talks about charity in, what is it, 1 Corinthians 13, is it? Or, anyway, it says, though I give all my goods to feed the poor, that's and have right. not charity, it profit me nothing. So, it's not just temporal. You have to, there's a heart that goes along with that. You have to have God's love in there. Because if not, it won't profit you anything.
So far, it's not so much the actions that you're doing in storing up or in giving it all away, but it's really a heart issue. And where is your heart at? Why are you doing it? Is the Lord in it or not? You know, or is it an I thing again? You know, where it's about me. And let's read another verse in chapter 6. Let's see. Matthew chapter 6, 27 to 34. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And I'm going to stop real quick and say, O me of little faith. Because I do. I get to thinking about these things. You know, I do think about, well, are we going to have money for clothes? Are we going to have money for food? That kind of things. And not so much today, because we got plenty. But 10 years from now, 20 years from now, you know, we're talking life insurance. How much is enough? How much do I have to have stored up? If the Lord takes me along a different direction and... you know, what is that going to look like? But he tells me, take not thought of those things. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And so my question is that true? Take no thought for the morrow? Yeah, I think he brought that up in his message this morning, you know. Take no thought for tomorrow? What was that? So like, it's not so much that you don't think about it, but you don't worry about it. Okay.
You know, go ahead.
You can think so much about tomorrow that you forget about today and don't live for today.
Very true. I've done that.
Yeah. No, I think our struggle in today's society is more toward trying to gain and get more than, you know, struggling with other things. But I wonder if our, you know, the way we live, I hope that we consider maybe what the Lord had in mind. The Bible doesn't spell it all out, but these are some things that's been rolling around in my mind. It says the Levites, they were 8% of the population or whatever, or 10% of the population. And yet they were all taken care of by the others. And how that in Acts, when they got the deacons, the apostles said, it's not good for us to leave the word of God to go serve tables. And they said, we need to be in continual prayer and fasting. So I wonder if our congregations wouldn't do better if our ministers were completely dedicated to God's work. And, you know, it says covet earnestly the best gifts, and it lists prophecy there. And I know that I guess these are questions I have is we need to take care of our ministry very well, because if they don't have to worry about this stuff, and I know some of them, they may not worry about it, but they have real struggles because we may not give enough for their needs. And how that, you know, if we all are desiring the best gifts, we're not going to be out there trying to get gain, and just, that's not going to be our focus. Our focus is going to be ministering to others. So that's kind of some of the things I've been asking myself too, how much of this should we be doing? Because that's what the world does, is just try to get gain.
Yeah, I don't know. Go ahead.
We have to be careful to not be caught up in the pride of this world. And many times, the things that Christ said were opposite. You know, one place he said, those things that the world esteems are an abomination in my eyes. And
we're so affected by what's around us. But here in that first scripture we read, it said, he told him, he said, life doesn't consist of the abundance of your possessions. And that was Christ's attitude. Our life, it is not what we can do. It's not the abundance of what we can do. But God wants us to, I believe, to have that faith of a child. He said if we don't become like children, we can't enter the kingdom of heaven. And a child isn't real anxious because they realize their dependency on someone else. And I think our dependency should be on God. And it should be on God strong enough that when we come to decisions, that we don't just say, well, that's what we got to do. That we prayerfully say, Lord, like the scripture said, don't say tomorrow you're going to do this or that. He said, if the Lord will, I'll go in and start to see if you can get it down. It's only if the Lord will. And I think our dependency needs to be on the Lord. Because he's our breath anyway. He said, without me, you can do nothing. He is our bread. He's all that we have. So I think with that childlike faith is the place that God can call people in his service to give their full time. And to me, we see a lack of that now, and it's because we lack that childlike faith, that real love to say, Lord, I'll go, I'll do whatever the cost. And we need that. And we need people that are willing to give their full time.
Yeah, I don't think that there's a lack of giving in the church. I think everybody gives out of their heart and does what the Lord would have them do, you know. And I don't necessarily think that the ministers need more. You know, I mean, it's not a thing where ministers can't work, you know. It's just, it's a faith issue, you know. It's like she said, you know, you got to trust in God. And that's the bottom line. You know, you can trust in yourself. And like I said, I can go to work for somebody, and I'll know at the end of the week there's going to be a check waiting for me. Unless they go out of business, right? I'm going to have a check waiting on me. Sure. Right.
And you've got to save up for that. You've got to think about that when you're younger.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you're going to be stuck one of these days with no income. And that's why I say at least you need enough to bury you if you cost a little money to bury.
Yeah. There they go, trying to kill me again.
Policy or something that'll take care of you whenever you go.
Yeah.
But, what I thought in my mind,
right.
My family will be taken care of for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to think of those things too.
Right.
You usually don't when you're young. You think you're going to live forever.
Yeah.
There comes a time in your life when you can't work no more. And you need to save up for that. But you don't need to neglect giving to God either. If you're fortunate enough to have a business that is profitable and all, and you can give more, that's great. A lot of people live and pay check to pay.
Yeah.
So they've got to, put a little money aside or have some kind of policy so that when it comes to the day that you can't work no more, that you'll have something to live on.
Amen. And I guess in a way that's my question is can I just live off of what I have now and trust that God's going to provide, you know, 10 years from now and trust that he's going to make, or do I need to set aside? Is that wisdom? You know, like you said, it's wise to set a little aside. Make sure you've got money when you can't work anymore. Or make sure your family's taken care of when you're gone. You know, and they're they're needing money, you know, to stay afloat. And so in a sense, that's kind of the tug of war. You know? Do we, where's the trust? Is it in my ability? You know, like I said, I can work and I know I got a check coming in. But if I go out on my own and think I'm going to do work for myself, now it's, I don't know, maybe that check will or maybe it won't come in. You know, maybe the work will come in, maybe it won't, that kind of thing. And for me, that's a new environment for me to know what to do. What's that?
Like I was going to say, there's been more than I want to talk about of men die out of habit and leaving their wives in the lurch and mm-hmm. have children. And so where is the where is it cut off, you know?
Yeah.
Store it, yeah, but somewhere you're gonna have to put it, so you know.
Amen.
It stores up, and it's not storing up so much in abundance. You know, it talks about lay not up for yourselves treasures. To me, that's different than laying up necessities. Laying up necessities.
So, like you were saying, that could be saying that, you know, having that money aside is a necessity, you know? It's not so much storing up for, you know, greed or anything of that nature. It's being wise. It's having something ready in case you live a long time.
I was just going to say something Brother Paul said was when I was a child, there was a minister in our congregation, and he was not a well man, and he died when he was 39 years old, had six children, and his wife had to hold down three jobs. She worked almost around the clock. And I don't know that any other children are safe today because she was gone. I mean, I think a couple of them were married, but the younger ones, he got up, one of them got up for his teens, and he wouldn't go to school. His mom thought he'd get on school bus. She drove school bus, but it wasn't the one he was on. And he'd come home later. She'd be home like an hour to the morning, an hour to the evening. Before she'd go to other jobs. So there is something there, and they were poor. I mean, she didn't have three jobs, so they could. She just had the mentality. She did not want to take public assistance, food stamps, welfare. She wanted to provide for her children. And she did. But how much better would it have been if there had been something? Maybe she wouldn't have had to work three jobs to take care of her children.
Yeah. I have a scripture here in Mark 10:23 and 24. Now, I know some people or some men that say, you know, I'm doing for my family. I'm working and I'm making sure they have everything they need. But they're thinking of it financially, you know, and because of it, their family suffers, you know, and it's the same scenario where their children suffer as a result because they're not home. They're not being the father that they need to be in the emotional sense or the instructional sense or just in the time. But they're, you know, they're giving him all the new toys and the new bikes and, you know, all those things. And Mark chapter 10:23-24, Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? And I think the key point to that verse is trust. That they trust in what they store up, you know. that's going to save everything, you know. And I could think, you know what? Yep, we're going to get the life insurance policy. We're going to make the bank account fat. And so when I die, everybody will be taken care of and everything will be fine, right? But then the life insurance company doesn't want to pay, you know, because something happened that was wrong or some kind of mishap. I died wrong. You know, I didn't die the right way. And so they're not paying, you know. I don't know if they do that, but I think like that. Like,
oh, yeah.
Because I'm wondering how they're making money, you know. And so, you know, I think everything's good, but then she still ends up with nothing, you know. And so to trust in riches isn't, but to be wise, you know. We got to be wise. You know, you can't forfeit doing something because you think it might turn bad, you know. Okay. That's right.
That doesn't mean that we all need to live like vertical people, vertical world country to live. But I do think that there is a factor here that us we're in such an affluent society today that it's really hard to know where the balance totally is. But we live in a world where husbands and wives go for it.
Like living above our means sort of thing.
That's what he's talking about. I'm just going to say it's money management, and there are programs that teach that, but I think it's very important to do good money management.
Well, I don't want to keep everybody a whole long time tonight. Let me read Luke 14, 15, 24. This was just something that came to mind too in this whole process of thinking about these things. It says, "And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And what I was thinking about in this passage is that they're excuses. And I think, do I have that excuse sometimes, you know, and saying, well, you know, I can't make it this time, you know, I can't do it this time, because I have to work, you know, or I don't know. And I think that they're saying, you know, have me excused, you know. And I think, you know, what is our focus? You know, what is our attention? Are we divided in our thoughts? Are we divided in our commitment? Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Where Christ and not on things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You know, early in my faith, that term being dead always meant a lot to me. Dying to myself. I mean, I haven't really given my testimony here, and hopefully I'll do that one of these days, perhaps soon. But I really believe that I died. And the Lord, the life that I breathe right now is God's. You know, because I shouldn't be alive. Right? And so I thought about it in a sense that when somebody saves your life, you say, man, I owe you my life. You know, and really that's what it is I owe God my life. My life belongs to Him, and He deserves it, you know. And to do that, you have to know that you're dead. You know, and what that means to me is that it's not about me. You know, life can't be about me. It can't be the I and the me and you know, the bad attitude that I can get when I think about life insurance and say, oh, well, they're just going to spend a lot of money because I'm dead, you know? Yeah, they're going to spend it because they need it, right? But I can get a bad attitude about that. It's not about me. It's about them and doing what's right for my family. And the same is in our relationship with God. It's not about me. It's a sacrifice. I give myself to the Lord. He has that coming. He deserves that. And whatever you would do, Lord, you know, my life is in your hands. If it's to forsake all, and so be it, you know. If it's to grow my business and make it prosperous so that I can donate and I have the heart to give, then so be it, you know. But ultimately, mindset has to be on things above. The heart is to serve God. And a couple things I wrote down. It says, one spends all their time and substance on gospel work, and in the end has nothing laid up for retirement. And I know some people that way, you know, and it's hard, but the Lord is blessing them and He's still taking care of them. But it does happen. Another spends most of their time in gathering. And because of that, they were able to give more substance to gospel work, but not much time. The average person makes enough money to get by while laying up in store some substance, and while doing it has time to do gospel work as well. Are any of these wrong? I mean, are any of them really wrong?